Thank you. So we'd like to thank Karen Jake Abelos for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Eloy Nishma, Shakespeare with parents Aliyah ben Abba and Lebas Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, and Hashemah should have an Aliyah. So we are doing I don't know if I should call it a new Mishnah, because some countings call it a new Mishnah, some countings continue it from the previous concept that we've done. Nonetheless, it is definitely a new person speaking and new ideas that are coming up. So I labeled it in A, Pirkei Avos chapter 2. It's either Mishnah 4 or Mishnah 5, depends who's counting the concept. So it doesn't really matter. We're still going to learn some new things. If it is part of the previous Mishnah, then some of the commentaries might want to deal with why are these two lumped together with somebody else's statements that have really seemingly very little to do with each other, or maybe we have to learn what the connections are. But as we know from past year, even if they're not in the same Mishnah, we still want to know what the connections to the previous Mishnayos are. So one of the things we're going to be thinking about, as usual, when we read this new Mishnah, is what's the connection to previous concepts that we've seen, not directly related here, but it's definitely something we should be thinking about. As we read these five things that Hillel says, usually we have three things, today we have five things. As we read the five things that Hillel says, we might want to think, do these five things have a running theme to them? Is there a connective tissue that brings all of these things together? Or are they five independent ideas? Are there two connected ideas? Three, four, five, whatever. Is there a connection between these, or is there not? You might also, if we're just tossing questions out there, why is this one five ideas when usually we have people saying three ideas? Definitely a fair question, something to think about. Who is this Hillel? So if you remember, we've seen Hillel before. In the first parak, we had a dispute. We had different ideas from Hillel versus Shammai. We spent a lot of time developing those two characters and what their teachings were in Pirkei Avos in the first parak. And here we have a new Hillel. The question is this the same Hillel or is it a different Hillel? And like usual, it's a machlokas. Some people say it's the same Hillel. Then you're going to have to answer, if it's the same Hillel, why did you start with Hillel in the first parak, take a break, go to some other people, and then come back to him in the middle of the second parak? Okay, fair question, and some commentators deal with that. We're not going to directly address it. If it's a different Hillel, who is this Hillel? How many Hillels were there? What's his character? What's he teaching us? What's his historical setting? All fair questions, but we're bypassing that for today, and we're just going to look at the content of what he says. Maybe in the future we'll come back to that, but we're going to leave it for now. So let's, with those preamble ramblings, let's just jump in to source A. What are the five things that Hillel teaches us? Hillel Omer. Number one, Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibor. Do not separate yourself from the community. We'll have to see what that means. What context are we talking about? Number two, Va'al ta'amen ba'atzmacha ad yom moscha. Famous statement, do not believe in yourself. Right, it's against everything you hear from all the songs. You got to believe in yourself, right? So do not believe in yourself until the day you die. Presumably, even then, you shouldn't really believe in yourself until you're dead. Then it's over. Then you can, you know, there's nothing to really think about. But do not believe in yourself. Again, we'll have to see what that means until the day that you die. Number three, Va'al tadin eschavercha ad shetagi elim komo. Another famous statement, do not judge your friend until you get to his place. We'll have to see what the message of that is. We've had various messages of judgment in the past, so we'll see how the commentators deal with this. Number four, some interesting advice. Al tomar davar she'i'af shar lishmoa shesofo lehishamea. We'll see there's different ways commentators deal with this, but we'll just translate it one way as of now. Don't say things that shouldn't be heard, because chances are they're eventually going to come out. So is that a concept telling us about secrets? Is it a concept telling us about something else? We'll see that. And number five, Al Tomar Lichasha Efna Eshna Shema Lotipane. Nice productivity, anti-procrastination statement. Don't say that when I have time, I will take care of it. I will learn, because what's going to happen? You might not have time. So seize the day, carpe diem, take advantage of everything all the time that you've had. Again, a similar statement that we've seen from other commentators, from other Mishnayos in Perkei Avos in terms of productivity. Let us jump in. Again, we're not going to answer all of these questions, but I do want you to start thinking about, can we see connections between these different concepts? But we'll take them one at a time for now. So source number one is going to deal with part one, meaning statement one of Hillel, is don't separate yourself from the tzibur. So what are we talking about? I should never separate myself from the tzibur? Are we talking about specific context that I shouldn't separate myself from the tzibur? Does that mean I can never leave shul because I always have to be with the tzibur? I always have to have some connection to the public? Or can I also have a private life as well? So what does it mean, al tifrosh min hatzibur? So we have here source number one, the Tiferes Yisrael, as a later commentator, as an aharon on Perkei Avos, but he sort of sums up what previous commentators say in five statements. There's five ways that we shouldn't be tifrosh min hatzibur. Source number one, al tifrosh min hatzibur, klal b'zeh chamisha inyanim. What are the five? I pulled out the five for you in the Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. Number Aleph, Shiller, letter Aleph, shelo yifrosh min hage hatzibur. You shouldn't separate yourself from the customs of the congregation that you are in. Ukemosha kasuv chazal azal lekrasa azal lini musya. So we have precedents of this in Gemaras, that when you're with a congregation, don't say, okay, they're standing for this thing, so I'm going to sit because that's my custom. No, do what the custom of the congregation is. They say this type of tefillah, well, I don't say that, so I'm going to talk during it. No, do what the congregation does. Don't separate from the congregation. So that's Aleph. Beis. Kishim miskansin likvoa shir limud. O lehis palel. O lehis yaitz pe'esek mitzvah b'tzarchi tzibur. The whole shul, the congregation, there's an email that goes out and says there's a shir today. We're davening now. We're getting together as a community to fight this problem and to tackle this issue. Lo yomar yachlitu heim. Let them choose. They'll vote. They don't need me. My vote doesn't count. Masha yirtzu. Somebody else will learn. Vani misratze b'chach b'chach. I gotta take care of my own stuff. Rak tzarech liyayitz l'tovus atzibur l'isai b'chol darba l'avodas Hashem. You gotta participate. You gotta become active. You gotta take advantage of everything that the tzibur does. Nice message. Number three. Kishat tzibur v'lohu shuriyim b'tza'ar. Yargish sarasam ki'ilu hu atzmo ganken shori imam b'tzar. I spoke about this 2 weeks in the drasha, that when the tzibur is in pain, and notice how he points out here, v'lohu shurim b'tzar, but you're not in pain. What does that mean? It means that if you are in pain, and the tzibur is in pain, then you would be, I guess, stupid, as some commentators say, to separate yourself from the tzibur at that point. You're all in the same boat, and you're saying, no, I can't deal with this. Right? So the assumption is that if everybody is collectively has a problem, then we don't even need you. We don't even need Perkei Avos to tell me, you know, be a part of that, because you're part of you. You're suffering the same problem. So rather, he says it's that everybody else has the problem, but you're okay, you're fine. So in that scenario, Yargis sarasam kiilu atzmo gan kem shari imam b'tzar. You have to feel their pain. You have to empathize. You have to be with them in their tsar, and that's the Gemara in Tainus 11a. Another nice idea. These are all true, right? It's not like one or the other. These are all true. These are all things that we shouldn't be poresh from the tzibur from. Number four, kishim is palo al atzmo. When you're davening for yourself, I need parnasa, I need a refuah, I need a shidduch, I need all these, I. Yishtatef es atzmo betzfilasu imahen, l'chol es atzmo b'chal kolon etzrachim b'zos. You don't single yourself out in tefillah. You make a tefillah collectively for everybody. That's why we say Besok Shar Chole Yisrael. That's why we always include all of Klal Yisrael with our tefillos. We don't just sing. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to say, I, you know, Hashem, I really could use this help. You have to say, I could really use this help, and my friend needs this help too, and all the other people who need this help, I should daven for them too. So when we daven, we should include everybody, all of the tzibur, all of the klal, when it comes to all the things that we're working on. Yes.
The woman who comes here, Doa, the daughter who just died, the brain tumor. She is 25 years old and she has four small children.
Her name is
Miriam.
Okay. We can include her in the shit. Do you know the Miriam Bas Deborah? Miriam Bas Deborah should have a refuah shlema v'soch shara chole Yisrael. Okay. Now, right, everything's in plural. We don't say tefilos in singular. We always include everybody in our tefilos. Okay, number five. Now he's going to expand this a little bit more specific in terms of who the message is for. He says, "Amnam kol od kishe nismanta lemanhega tzibur." So now, I want you to think about this in terms of context. Remember what we've seen in previous Mishnayos. We've had a running theme in previous Mishnayos that had to do with what? That had to do with what type of person? The tzibur and the leader of the tzibur. Right? So now he's saying, let's see this message in terms of the leadership of the community. So if you are a leader, I think it's a fascinating message. So if you're a leader, you can't be one of the crowd. You can't be one of the buddies. You can't be friends with everybody because you're a leader. And leaders can't necessarily be on the same level as everybody else. You can't pretend that you're all best friends. Shlo yidamu sha'ata ke'echad mehen b'shava lehen. Afilu hachi lo tifresh men legamre. Okay, so then you could go the opposite polar extreme. So you're telling me I can't be friends with them because then how am I supposed to give them your rebuke, or how am I supposed, you know, it's a different level here. So, okay, so maybe I'm going to separate and be totally removed from my congregation or from the people who I am leading. No, that's the other extreme that you have to stay away from. Afilu hachi lo tifresh men legamre. So that's al tifresh min hatzibur means don't separate from the people you are leading completely. I'm the master. I cannot mingle with my servants and my slaves. That's a ridiculous statement to make. Because then nobody's going to like you. Nobody's going to care about you. And they're going to think that you're this, you know, arrogant person who's trying to lead them. And that's not what leadership is about. What is somebody who is a wise? What's a wise leader who can balance this combination of being with the congregation and stepping away from the congregation or from the people you are leading, etc.? Teacher, same thing applies to any position of leadership. You could even say parents as well, right? It's not just about being your kid's best friend. It's about balancing this relationship, but also not being on equal levels. So if you find this balance, and I love the way he phrases this, lefi hazman v'hamakom v'ha'adam. It's a powerful statement because usually we make broad, general, sweeping remarks that people should act in this way. And he's nuanced here. He says, you have to find the balance based on who you are and based on who the congregation or the family or the classroom is, and the time, because things change, and the place, context matters. And if you're able to find that balance, then you're an ish hamutzlach. You'll be somebody who is successful. You're going to be beloved, and you're also going to be respected from everybody. Be very careful with this. Kihem sod yakar. This is an essential element. That most people mess this up. Most people can't find this balance. Most people either are too separated and become too arrogant over the people that we're talking about. Either, again, leadership, family, a classroom, or people go to the opposite extreme and become too friendly, and that's a problem too. Finding that balance is essential. So here this fifth element, I think, is a little bit different than the first four. The first four are pretty standard in terms of what it means to be part of a community. Don't separate whatever the community is doing. Always be a part of that. And then the final one is a message for, I think, all of us in whatever context we are, leaders or a position of authority over somebody else, to balance that friendship slash not being too friendly concept. Okay? So I think it's a beautiful idea from Tiferes Yisrael. Yeah?
It's like shit. You have to be the right person, right place, right time.
Right? That's true. Everything's like that. I think that's the point. I think that it's nice to see this nuance here that says you always have to know the context. I can't give you this broad statement that this is what it means to be a leader. This is follow these rules and then you're going to be successful. No, it depends on context. Okay, so that's the Tiferes Yisrael. Now, source number two is the Medrash Shmuel Also in Isaiah, it's a little bit much to read everything inside, but let's see if we can pull out some important things here. So source number two, he quotes the Rav Shem Tov Ibn Shem Tov. Right, so Shem Tov, the son of Shem Tov, perished. They weren't so creative with their names, I guess, but a good name, the son of a good name. Perish, Kilach, I guess we just keep it simple. Kilach Ora, Nirek, Himisha Yoshev Levado, Velo Shutup im Bnei Adam, Hu Ben Elokim. So he's saying that why do I have to say Alter Posh Minat Sibor? Why? The answer is that not just, okay, we're not talking about people who don't care and don't want to be a part of the community. And you know, oh, you're in pain, I don't care about that. That seems a little bit strange that I need a reminder about that in Perkei Avos. Like, don't be a mean, you know, heartless person. So rather, what he's going to do for us is tell us that no, there's actually, I can spin it on a positive side as to why I should be porish from the tzibor. So why should I separate myself from the tzibor? Not because I'm mean and cold-hearted, but because I can make an argument that being porish from the tzibor is better for my service of God. How is being separate from the tzibor better for my service of God? So let's read that again. Shemisha Yoshev Levado Belo Shutaf in Bnei Adam. Second line of source 2. Hu Ben Elokim, I'm the son of God. Not literally. Hu Chai Chaim Elokim Shemishu Parosh Me'am Lo Yefta Belo Yaseh Shomra. I'm not going to do anything wrong. I'm part of a community. The community is going to make me sin. The community is going to bring me down. I'm better than them. I'm better than that. And I'm going to have to sacrifice in order to be part of the community. And I don't want to do that. V'misparid Me'am Yuchala Ayin Ko Yamav. Via Ovid Hashem, I can sit in my nice little my study, and I can learn all day, and I can meditate, and I can become beautiful. I can study everything, and nobody's going to bother me. So many people think that separation is davar kadosh. The chola rosh yavo l'adam lo yivo ki mitzad hashituf ha-maisa shenivras ha-isha nivra ha-satan. So that all problems come from being part of a community and being social. I don't want to be social. I want to be a hermit. And not because I'm mean-spirited and I'm a bad person, but because that's better for my service of God. And he talks about chayim v'hevel, etc. So then, what's the answer to that? What's the answer to that? It's not true. It's not true. So one second, Laser. One second. But so now we're on around 10 lines down, the middle of the line, after the period. It says va'amar. Va'amar shahadavar eino kein. It's not true. Ki aprishus v'hisvodidus ibnei adam e efshar. You can't do it. You're not going to be successful. Ki ha'adam medini b'teva. We are social animals. We, in our natural state, need other people. It's not good for people, for man to be alone. It's clear. We have lots of needs. I can't take care of all of my needs. I have to be part of a community. I have to be part of a state. And besides for that, it's not just a statement of I can't survive without somebody else, you know, plowing the fields and doing all that stuff. That's one element, but it's more than that. My own perfection of character can't come without others. That's what he just said. The Shemus Acher Yechuyev Shiyischaber Adam Ki Ir Per Adam Yulad Tzarch. So we grow up. This is fascinating about what he, human development in terms of what the status quo is. So the status quo is, he says here, is that we grow up. Human nature is to grow up Per Adam. Is that we're going to be wild and we need to be tamed. And so there's a whole nice debate as to whether or not if we didn't have the social institutions to train us, would we be good or would we be bad or would we be neutral? Are we a blank slate? So all of this discussion here, he's assuming that without people, without being acculturated, we would be para-adam, we would be wild. We have to learn from everybody. Wisdom requires us to connect to other people in order for the shleimus haguf ha-nefesh. For me to perfect myself, I need other people. So he has more stuff here, but just to to frame what he's saying right now, he's saying you might have thought, not that I'm mean, so I want to be poresh, I want to separate. No, it's better for me and my development to be separate. And he says that's false. That's not true. The understanding here is that you need other people in order for your own self-development to be perfected. Laser, and then, yeah, 1 second. Right, so this is more would be, I assume you follow the Rambam's approach here, that Nazir choosing the Nazirus aspect is not so good. But Nazirus doesn't necessarily mean separating from people. Right? Nazirus is one of the three things, isn't that you have to separate from people. It's that you make choices that separate you from the status quo. So I don't know if Nazirus is connected here. But yeah, but we're not ascetic. You don't go up to a mountain and spend your whole life there. You're not a monk that you have to be part of the Yes, Susan and Barry.
Does that lead to that you can't trust yourself, but you need other people to keep you?
Okay, excellent. We'll see that in a second. Yeah?
What about when the Seaver is really evil? That's powerful.
Okay, good. So both of you predicted the next part here. So both good questions. So one's adding an element that maybe there's another part why we need Seaver, and the other is assuming that what about if the Seaver is not so good? Let's see. All right, skip source number 3 here. Flip the page. Okay, we're going to see both of those elements in source number 6. Okay, so wait, hold off for source number 6, but before we get there, we're going to do part 2, because we're going to see the source number 6 is going to connect part 1 and part 2, so good comments, let's just hold off on a second, find the last one, and then we're going to keep going.
We always have this dual approach in Yiddishkeit. I have an achrayus for myself to accomplish whatever it is that Hashem wants me to accomplish as an individual, but I am also part of the Jewish people from which I cannot and do not want to separate. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like you have to have those two eyes always on the road before you and accomplish both. So
correct.
It's being made to sound like it's an either or, when in reality it's a balance.
Right, so I would actually argue, so I was actually, this is the exact point of the drusha 2 weeks ago, which you have an excused absence for. The only excused absence is if you're in Israel. That's it. So the point of the drasha 2 weeks ago was to these. I used Matovu Alach Yaakov Mishkanoch Sefi Yisrael that Bilam says how great are your tents. That this is actually a paradigm where you see from Chazal and the Farshim two opposite reads of that, because Matovu Alach Yaakov represents, according to Rashi, that their tents were separated. You couldn't see from one tent to another. So it's like privacy, own personal development. I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to do what I need to do. And then you have, on the flip side, the Gemara that says that it's referring to the Bate Knessios and the Bate Midrashos, which is the public sphere of shuls and schools, etc. So you have this set up as perhaps a tension between, is it this one or is it that one? And the answer, the argument that I'm making, I think is similar to what you were making, is that it's not a tension per se, and I would go into a step further, that this is actually saying that it's by definition not a tension. The way that you do your own personal development is through the tzibur. It's a little bit different than what you're saying. Yeah. My own personal development can never come at the expense of tzibur. And that if I'm thinking about it as a tension, that's probably wrong. And that I need to be able to develop myself personally through the frame and through the lens of tzibur. So good point. And I think it brings it together. And I think that's what he's saying also. All right, so part 2, and we'll get back to both points from before, in source 6 is going to bring together part 1 and part 2. So let's see part 2. If you remember, so now we're on page 2. If you just flip the page, this was the second thing that Hillel said. Al tamen batzmachad yom moscha. So the first thing was that you can't separate from the tzibur. The second thing is that you can't believe yourself. Don't believe in yourself until the day that you die. So look at source number 4, Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Al tamen batzmachad yom moscha. Hu nidras bein lechasidus bein leemunos. He said this message is relevant for 2 points. Both in terms of my piety, as well as my faith and my belief. Meaning I shouldn't believe in my own piety, and I shouldn't believe in my belief in God until the day I die, because it's never too late for you to mess things up. Right? Lo tiat tzadik be'enacha. Don't think of yourself as so great and so righteous, even though you seem to have everything going for you in terms of what you're supposed to be thinking and what you're supposed to be doing. Val tomar kama yamim lo pa'alti abo nechrachti yasyetzer. I haven't sinned in so many years. I've been able to force and control my yetzer hara. V'ani yachol alav v'notzeacha. So I've always won that battle. Kfar nishbar. It's already broken. It's not even a battle for me. V'anachnu nimlatayinu v'lo yachol atosam in aderech yashar. I'm on the right path. I have no way that I'm going off this right path. V'oyev. So why not? Why can't I say, listen, it's been 50 years. I haven't done anything wrong. So why can't I assume that now I can believe in myself? So the answer is, because it's an oyev ve'orev alecha b'himatzo oscha. The Yetzirah is ready to jump. It's ready to pounce. It might have been quiet for 50 years just to get you to think that it's not there anymore, and it was playing the long con, and it was waiting all the way to the end, and then in the last day it just swoops in there and gets you. So it's always ready to pounce. So if there's going to be some time where you're going to be working, or you're not going to be learning, you're not going to be thinking godly things, and it's going to be merakid lifanach, we're in the fourth line now, umidaber alibecha, it's going to be dancing in front of you and enticing you, speaking to your heart, latoscha l'shum ba'eretz l'alech b'derech lo avar ba'ish tov lo yashav sham, right? It's going to get you. That's the point. It's going to get you. So don't believe in your piety. Never let your guards down. You always have to be ready to fight against the Yetzirah. So that's in terms of the chassidus. That's in terms of the piety and the character. Never think that you're safe. Now, what about emuna? What about belief? If I've already established my belief system, it's one thing to say that the Yetzirah for taivas, for desire, is always there to get me and it's never going to stop. What about in terms of belief? So that's the second paragraph here. It says the same thing applies to belief. Gam inyon ha'emuna nemar adavar hazeh. That's also applicable to emuna. Leval Talmud min haminin v'afilu min advar ma'amitim ki pigyas ra. Don't embrace yourself or entice yourself or go with the other sects who try to get you off the path of believing in God. Pen yiftecho chataim l'divrayim ta'ava. Because again, it's the same idea. Don't distinguish in your mind between this taiva, this chassidus in terms of the piety and the character, and in terms of belief, because for both of them, it's ready to pounce. See, Yetzirah is going to get you. It's going to pull you off of the road, the right path. And therefore, don't believe yourself until you die. And then who's the paradigm for this? So, Acher, yes, but there's one more famous. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he quotes this here in the end of the paragraph here. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was a Kohen Gadol, he was a great, pious person. He was Shimash Bekuna Gadola, Shmonim Shana, second to last line of this source number four. For 80 years, he was the Kohen Gadol, Uvesof Nasit Siduki. And at the end, he became a tzeduki. Ki b'shmo asam afilu b'divrei Torah yesh b'davar onesh gadol ad ma'od alosu chacham shenimsar l'minin amoshem aminos shamasa v'hanacha. Basically, this is the best you can be. Kohen gadol for 80 years, pious person, and then you just switch. You flip, you go in the wrong way, you turn over to the dark side. Never trust yourself. And this doesn't mean necessarily, keep in mind, this doesn't mean that for those 80 years he was faking it. It doesn't mean that for those 80 years there was a sign that, oh, we're going to, you know, that's going to happen to him, right? No, this is something that can just jump on you from out of nowhere. So you always got to be careful. That's the lesson of Al Tamin Ba'atzmacha Ad Yom Moscha. Now, is that again? Hold on. What? Thing that got him? I mean the historical context of what it was like to be part of the Tzedukim versus the Purushim back in the time of the Bayis Sheni is probably more complex than just, you know, everything was nice and sunny one day and he decided to go to the other side. There's probably some level of intrigue of who's right, who's wrong, and he was conflicted about that. So yeah, it's a good question, but the point is that from our perspective, he went to that. I'm sure they celebrated it when he went to that side. But again, so it was a big Yetzirah for it. Fine. So that's source number four. Source number five. Meaning what?
Meaning that it's sort of like it wasn't his fault. The disease has always been around. It's never been studied as carefully.
So you're diagnosing him with that, and that's why.
You're giving it way out.
Okay. You could be down the cops, but I doubt that they would be so excited if, you know, he was like basically sitting still in his house, and like one day somebody whispered into his ear, "Become a Tzaduki," and he said, "I'm a Tzaduki," and that was it. Maybe. Okay. It's a fair point. So source number five. Al tamen batzpad yomoscha nirali. So the Rashbat says as follows. Shesamach zeh. Remember, now we're about to make a connection from the previous number one to number two. Number one was don't be porsh mitzibor. Number two is don't believe in yourself until you die. So shesamach zeh le'el tifrosh ta'al tifrosh mitzibor. It connects one and two. Why? Lo'omar l'cha, to teach you. Sheyesh to'eles gedola b'hishtatfuscha imatzibor yoser miyoscha shochne levada yom echad. So similar to what the Medrash Shmua quoted from the Shem Tov, Ibn Shem Tov, that there is a benefit for being mishtatef, to being connected to the congregation, more than if you were by yourself. Vafilu herachta yamim, even if you could say, oh listen, I lived a long life because I stayed by myself. No, it doesn't matter. Ki ha'adam ha'sharu yechidi yiskaber alav yitzro machmas hihure avera she'ein adam nitzol me'an b'chol yom. The assumption here is that if you're by yourself, there's actually more of a chance that the Yetzirah is going to get you. If you're alone with your thoughts and you're alone just thinking and doing things, eventually it's going to get you. It's going to get you because you're just by, you don't have other people's feedback. You don't have that social pressure, if you will, to do what's right. Eventually, you're stuck with your own thoughts. They start getting twisted a little bit. They start getting distorted a little bit. And you never know where it's going to go. You need the feedback of other people. This is the way I'm reading it, at least. You need the feedback of other people to keep you on the right track. Kemosh Amar Perek Get Pasha, it's Gemara Bava Basra that says that. That's just Yatzel Tarbus Ra. Geshuim Atzibor, who Nimlat Mizeh. When you're with the Tzibor, you're protected from this. Your thoughts aren't going to necessarily be distorted to go off the Derech. So he connects being part of a community with the believing in yourself, and he's assuming don't believe in yourself if you're alone. If you're together, then you have more of a room to believe a little bit, because you're not believing in yourself, you're believing in the whole community together. Now, source number six is going to elaborate on this, connecting one and two together, and I think it's going to answer both Barry's question and Susan's question. So source number six is the Reben Shoshan. He says, Hillel Omer, Al Tifrosh Minat Tzibor. Al Tifrosh Minat Tzibor. Shelo Tazuach Daito Shel Adam B'Yachshav Kidai Lo Ba'atzmo. You should never think that you're good on your own. V'chi Ein Lo Tzorech B'Chevras HaChavreirim. And I don't need friendships of other people. V'zos Tos Gedola B'Hefach Yishuv Olam. This is a huge mistake. The opposite of what it means to be a part of the world. Ulufisha Hizir, excuse me, Shazahir, Mikirba Samela, Chazar Lizar, Shalol Yisrachik, Adam Chavero Bnei Gilo. So it's connecting it to previous Mishnayos, which said don't be too connected to government officials, if you remember that. So it says, okay, don't be too connected to government officials, but you have to have your own chaver, you have to be part of your own community. Kimosha Amra Hashunamis, Kishashalu Osadi Isha Shunamis, when they asked her, Ayeshul Dabar Lachal Amelach, O El Sar Tzabah, can I do something for you? Can I speak to the king on behalf of you because of what you've done for me? Heshiva Va'amra Besoch Ami Anochi Osheves, I'm a people person, I'm part of my congregation, I'm not separate from them. V'amru Chazal, Kol Olam Lo Nivra El Tzavos Lezeh, V'yos Adam V'olam Hazeh, Yev Shalom Ubati Chavras Bnei Adam. So now he basically is reiterating everything. You have to be part of a congregation. You have to be part of a community. We're social animals. You can't be on your own. But now we're connecting it to the next part. Second paragraph in source number six. Al tivtach ba'atzmacha. Don't trust yourself. Kafilu tisbodeid v'tifrosh minat sibor. If you are separate from the congregation, ki yetzer lo yita oscha, because you're going to say, I'm going to be on the right path, the yetzer is not going to get me. V'davar eki geder chazak v'siya gadol hu mora basar v'dam ze al ze. It is an important element. It is a gate. It is a fence. It's a barrier. That's the word I was looking for. It's a barrier to have other people watching over you. It is a safety element, a safety mechanism to be a part of a community because they're going to keep you in check. Right? They're going to see me. What are the neighbors going to think? We would usually say, oh, I should be strong on my own. I shouldn't care what other people think. No, this is the opposite message. Be a part of the community so they can tell you you're doing the wrong thing. So they can keep you in check. So he says here about Tom, the reason, Susan, I can't see if I have a pimple on my face. I can't see if I have food in my teeth. I can't see if I have a problem with my hair. Why? I don't have a mirror. So therefore, k'shum estakel b'mara, hamara todienu b'kaf, so the mirror is going to help me, v'yitaken mashatzarav tikin, I'm going to fix what's wrong with my own face if I can look in the mirror. V'chein ein kol adam argish b'chol mumav, ki ha'karov hu etzel atzmo. You can't see your own character flaws. You can't see it on yourself. V'eino roach hovel atzmo, I can't see that I have a problem. I always have this, what's called in psychology, a self-serving bias. I always justify and rationalize all my actions. V'hachaver roa osam umazir oso. Your friend is the mirror. Your friend is going to see it, and your friend is going to warn you you're going down the wrong path. V'yesh l'adam shalo ya'amin ba'atmo. Don't trust yourself. Shunoa kishuro ma'isa v'rtuyam. I'm doing the right thing. V'libo shalim v'tamim elokav and God. I'm doing what God wants me to do. V'yamin ba'atmo v'lo yiptoch ki'im ha'yetzer yachal l'toso. The yetzer is always ready to get you. Ki yanai ha'melech. Shama shmonim shana b'kuna gdolo v'nasu tzeduki. So yanai ha'melech here doesn't mean yanai ha'melech. It means Shimon HaTzadik. Why do they call him yanai ha'melech? Yanai is the... around the same time period, but yanai is sort of the catchphrase for any bad person, right? Any bad person during Bayisheni was yanai ha'melech. The amru chachmei ames ena kodesh baruch miyachad shmos hatzikim el acham yisasan. Right? When's the time where God can sort of give you a stamp of approval? It's after your death, because before that we can't prove anything. When you're still in this world, you don't trust yourself. And what's the corollary of don't trust yourself? Always have friends who can tell you you're doing wrong. I think I took it out of the sources. Barry, your point about what about if people are bad, right? If the tzibor is bad, so many mepharshim deal with that. Rabbeinu Yonah says explicitly, if it's a bad tzibor, stay away from them. Right? So this doesn't apply to people who are bad influences. For them, we want to be, right? Harchek mishachin ra, which is something we saw in Perek Aleph. Stay away from bad people. This is assuming that at the very least, these are decent people who can help you. You might think, oh, I'm better than them, so therefore I can separate myself. Don't think you're better than them. You need them probably more than they need you. And that's how we could connect these two things together. So that's part one and part two. Good? Yeah, two questions, and I'm going to do part three. Yeah.
That's how you define Sibor. Let's say if I only associated, let's say, with a member, I find that the members, let's say, of my particular group or a sect, it will only reinforce my misconceptions. Let's say if I'm Nassim, I'm only going to be
right, so if you're on your own echo chamber and everybody's saying the same thing and everybody's agreeing with each other, it might not be good. So you need some diversity in terms of what you're going to talk about. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, one more and then we'll move on.
I just find it interesting that in the movie about the mafia, they say keep your friends close and your enemies closer. This is the complete opposite.
Right, yep. Friends are supposed to help you develop and grow. Okay, thank you. Part three. We're now on the second page. Part three. Remember, part one, don't be separate from the tzibor. Part two, don't believe in yourself until you die. Part three, al taden es chavercha ad shetagia lemkomo. It should be the top of the page if you're lost. Top of the page should say part three. Don't judge your friend until you get into his place. Source number 7, Rashi says, this is pretty straightforward. What does it mean? Atchetagilim komo shiyabo kimokain liyadcha betinatzel mimenu. So you see your friend doing something bad, you see them getting stuck and caught in some sort of sin, until you go through that same challenge and come out, you know, victorious, don't judge them, keep quiet. Now, I always looked at this Mishnah slightly differently, and I didn't see any Mefarshim, at least in terms of the earlier Mefarshim, maybe there's a contemporary, somebody says it somewhere that I read it at some point. I always understood this Mishnah. I remember there was sort of a critical point where it clicked in my head, where what's the point of don't judge your friend until you get into their place? That you can never get into their place, right? So don't judge at all. Now, I don't know if that's what Rashi's saying. Rashi seems to be saying, listen, if there's a similar thing and you go through it and you're successful, then technically you could judge your friend, right? Because you succeeded. But it sounds a little bit off to me, only, but maybe because I'm brainwashed, I always understood this as you're never going to actually get there. So we'll see two more Perushim, see if my explanation fits in with that, or is there an assumption here that at a certain point you actually could judge your friend if you were successful at that and they weren't? So look at source number 8, Perush Rabbeinu Yonah. Al tadin es chavercha ad shetagil mkomo. Gam zehu min ha'inyon she'ein la'adam lahamin ba'atzmo v'lo lismoch b'dayto yoser midai. So notice how Rabbeinu Yonah is motivated here to connect this to the previous concept. The previous concept was don't trust yourself. So he says this is also connected to not trusting yourself and don't rely on your own thoughts by themselves. V'kasher yirach haveiro b'ma'ala gedola. You see your friend, he's not doing it what you think he could be doing, you don't think that he's following the right path. Don't say that if I was in his place, I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have fallen into that trap. You don't know. Maybe you'll be the same, you'll be in the same boat. When you get to his place, you get to his status, and you're going to have the same problem, and you're going to fall too. And again, if you get there, okay, maybe you could question his. If you get there and you're successful, maybe you can question him. But the assumption, it sounds like similar to Rashi, is that don't do it because you don't really know if you would succeed there. But technically, if you succeeded there, then you could judge him and say, you could have done better. You could have succeeded in that case. Well, that's Rabbeinu Yonah's take on it. If you look at source number 9, the Meiri, I'll just read to you outside what he says. He flips this on totally differently. The first explanation he says similar to the first one, to the Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah. But the second explanation, I don't know if he means this as pshat, but he says that he hears this. He heard this from somebody. What does it mean? Don't judge your friend until you get to their place. He says, let's say you have somebody who comes from a different community. They show up in your community one day. They move in from an outside place, and they seem to be somebody of higher status, somebody who's a tzaddik, righteous person. So he says, right. So your gut reaction would be, okay, he's a nice guy, he's a righteous person. He says, don't think, al-tadin, don't judge him as righteous until you go back to Mekomo, to his original place of origin, and question whether or not he's a good person or not. Right? So it's a totally different message, which seems something that we don't really think about, but he's really saying to be careful with new people who come and show up on your doorstep. Don't be overly trusting of brand new faces, of brand new people. This is the Meiri, source number 9. You can read it inside if you want. It's when did he live? Around the 14th, 15th century. Where is it? You could read it. It's somewhere in the middle here. Right, so if you see, Shimra Isa Adam, four lines from the bottom of his source. Yimrisa Adam Nachri Be'ircha. You see a new random stranger comes into your city, and you see him, now it's third line, beginning of the third line from the bottom. Mesusul, Mesader, Mesrab, Midos, Chashubos, he's so great, he's so awesome, he's so amazing. Alta Amed Hadin Ba'atzmacha Ladunu Atzlacha Kemuksak Bos Madram. Don't assume that he actually has these traits. Achatagil and Komoshu Darbo, go back to where he came from. Bitira Hanagosa Vimekomo Imaskimos Lakak, if it's the same place, same thing, that when he came from, then you could judge him favorably, but before that, don't. I would say that this is an important message also. You see somebody, forget about, you know, coming from a different community. You see somebody who's in your community and they're so awesome and so amazing, don't necessarily assume when they're home that they behave in the same way. Right? So you always got to be careful as to, so there's a persona in one place, you might have a different persona in a different place. Yeah, Barry.
So Matthew speculated about the purpose of the judgment.
Right.
Also, you could even say the next most biggest statement. You find that individual position and you separate that situation that's important. Or, if now requires that you give him a hug, which is an early initial judgment. So the tucking is not independent of some subsequent action. It's not simply judging that.
Judging for a purpose,
yeah.
Right? Right, so yeah, so that's a fair point also. I didn't quote it to you, but I saw somebody who mentioned that the Al-Tadin was referring to, even though it says Chavercha, was talking to somebody in position of leadership, also because we have this leadership theme that's running. And it says, so if you're in a position of leadership, there might be some substance to you needing to judge somebody. Right, in the sense that, and I think that's what the Meir is getting at, is that as social creatures, as beings who live in social environments, we can't just trust every single person that comes into our lives. You have to have some level of mistrust, you know, not to necessarily ostracize people, but you can't just trust everybody because there could be damage because of that. So now if you're in a position of leadership, I forgot whoever said this was. So be careful not to judge them until you get to their place. Meaning, we have to judge, but be careful when you judge not to make the mistake. But what I took away from that is if it's a message to positions of leadership, and if, Barry, I think what you're saying is correct, if there's no other context to this judging, if the judging isn't for the purposes of either giving some level of rebuke, which be careful about, because maybe you wouldn't be so, you know, great and wonderful in that scenario too, or if there's no purpose of judging because, you know, we don't want random people, you know, got to check the databases online before you let somebody move into your community and hang out with your kids, right? So you got to, don't be so trusting. But if there's absolutely no nachamin, meaning there's no difference, there's no practical outcome to you judging this person, then don't. Then there's no mitzvah for you to judge. If you're in a social context that you need to judge, do it this way. If you don't, and this is just your own lashon hara, or you making yourself feel better about yourself, then that's not your place. There's no practical difference to that. Yeah. We're not here to judge, exactly, unless we need to, right? meaning, put it this way: can a judge judge? Right. That's his job. Right? So there is an element of me or you or whatever, if there's a position where I need to judge somebody else to make a decision, should this person be a part of my community or not? Now, again, what criteria I have to fit into that, but let's just go with an extreme criteria. This person's dangerous. Then I have to judge them. Right? I can't let that person into my community. I can't let that person hang out, be my babysitter. I can't do that. So there isn't. The point here is that if there is an element of judging where it's relevant, then do it in a proper way. And I reference you all to the first paragraph when we did the concept of judging. We spoke about this and elaborated on this a lot more. Yeah, Joyce.
I know it might be inherent in what you said, but I think when the movie talks about the guy better, looks like he's nervous. It also works the other way. Not so much and doesn't look whatever.
It might be.
Culture is very different, and therefore, this person has all the attributes. Some may be very good.
That's so good. So you could broaden out the idea of the Meiri by saying is that you always need to know somebody's background and culture and, you know, the environment that they grew up in. It might be totally different than from what you're used to, and that might change the way you look at it. One and then two, yeah.
But it also says Avercha.
Right.
And it doesn't.
Right.
The same Chavercha, which if somebody is your friend, you know them pretty well.
Right. So interesting, the Mefarshim, at least the ones we just read, don't necessarily read it that way, and they expand it past Chavercha. But it's a fair point. It might be a different message than a general statement on judging. And one more, and then we'll move on.
I came up thinking that we're going back to Noah, when we say, you know, Noah, he said, and, you know, and is that ongoing debate. Was he really a tzaddik? Was he not a tzaddik? Had he lived in a different generation? Would he be considered a tzaddik?
Right, and why are we judging him? That's a fair point. Biblical characters, for some reason, to some extent, are fair game for judging. Maybe it's because they, you know, that's their responsibility. You know, once you're out there in public life, we try to learn lessons from them, but we, as the quote-unquote judges, have to be careful with that too. Okay, good point. Part four. Let's see if we can finish this Mishnah today. So, go a little bit faster, but here we go. Don't say so. This one's a pretty straightforward one. Al tomer davar she'efshar lishmoa l'shesof l'shamea. Don't say something that shouldn't be heard because at the end it'll be heard. Either the explanation here, and you'll see this in Rabbeinu Yonah, is, you know, be careful what you say. Don't say a secret. The secret's going to get out. A message that we're perhaps familiar with. It sounds like a, you know, if you want to talk about context, I'll let you think about this. What does this have to do with everything else? Maybe it's some level of living in the social world, Lashon Hara type of ideas, etc. So be careful with your secrets, because Oznayim Lakotel, people, he actually quotes that here, the walls have ears, meaning the word will get out. Source number 11, the Rambam sees it a little bit differently. The Rambam says, very interesting idea. He says here, Hu shiya pshat hadvarim rachok v'nifsad, v'mitav l'sponein behem yirashim dvarim nechonim. V'zar mizah ofen min adibur. Ka'omer, al yiyu dvarecha tzricham perish rachok v'zbanulis rabba v'az yuvnu. So if you're talking, if you're a speaker, if you're talking, whatever the context is, even if you're talking to friends, don't be somebody who speaks in riddles. Don't be somebody who it takes, you know, forever to figure out what you mean. If you have something to say, say what it is. Don't talk in you know, iambic pentameter or whatever. You know, just say what you're saying and get it over with. So if you read that back inside, Al tomar davar she'ef shar lishmoa she'sof lishameo. Don't say something that's hard to understand, that only in the end we're going to figure out what you're talking about. Just say it straight out.
So why is the Gemara
there? And you know what? The Rambam, so Laser, it's a good question. The Rambam said, don't learn Gemara.
No.
The Rambam said, I'm making this clear, follow my laws, and don't, quote unquote, waste your time going with the back and forth of the way the Gemara is set up. So the Rambam, maybe this is connected to that idea, is that you have something to say, you want to learn something, say it. Now, the pushback to this is that, so why do you learn the Gemara like that? Because there's skills that you learn by trying to figure out riddles and poetry and all that and all the like. Okay, so that's...
That's why the Rambam was in trouble.
Right, and that's why the Rambam was in trouble. Right, I think in the Perashah Mishnah as an introduction. Right, so the truth. So still, the point is that if you have something to say, say it. Doesn't mean say it meanly and abruptly, but say it in a clear fashion. Okay, keep going for a second. This one is fascinating here. One more idea on part four, and we'll see if we have time to get to part five. So part four here in source number 12, the Chaste Avos, says as follows. Al tomar davar she'efshar lishmo she'sofu lishamea. Nira leferish, so he's going to say something differently. V'siyata d'shmaya kavana d'amar azal, k'shen she'mitzvah lomar davar ha'nishma, kain mitzvah shelo lomar davar shelo nishma. Shelo nishma. This is similar to what Barry just pointed out, as we've seen in the concept, of rebuke in the past. To give rebuke. So Chazal tell us, I think we said this, is that if what I'm going to give rebuke, the person's not going to listen, then there's no point of saying it. That's what Chazal says. So he says, maybe you can understand this Mishnah that way too. Don't say something that e'efshar lishmo, meaning people aren't going to listen to, with the assumption that, oh, I'm just planting seeds. Eventually they'll hear me. Eventually they'll listen. He said that's the wrong approach. And this is fascinating. He says, third line, L'zeh amar im yeshecha divrei musar v'azarosh, e'efshar shiyu atzibor nishma medvarim. If you have something, you want to give some sort of rebuke, and you don't think the congregation's up to listening to it, v'lo'yis kabalit zlam b'shumof, there's no way they're going to hear what you're saying. So you might say, I got to stick it to them anyway. I have to, it's the right thing. They have to know they're doing the wrong thing. Al tomer ani edrosh v'atip lahem milin apal pisha atab b'vaday lo yase advarim elu. So even though now they're not going to listen to me, and it's not going to help them right now. They're actually going to hate the fact that you're saying this, and they're going to hate you. But I might have to take the I might have to suck that up and do it anyway because it's the right thing to do, and in the long run, maybe they'll listen to me. They get old, they'll remember what I said. And by then, it'll sink in. They'll remember what I told them 50 years ago. It doesn't say don't just do it. It says you're not allowed to do that. Since now, even though, because now nobody's listening. Also, they're going to be disgusted by what you're saying. They're going to have these bazu advar menem. They're going to just everything. They're going to do the opposite. It's going to be disgraceful in their eyes what you're telling them. Yosifu al chatasam pesha, and they're going to do even worse. So lislosis aleim, and they're going to make fun of you. K'moshar Amar Kosav al tocheach lech leitz pen yisna eka, a pasuk that we saw in Mishlei when we did this when we talked about rebuke. So he says you don't say it. Beautiful idea. Flip the page for a second. Source number 13. It's a long source. We're not going to do it inside. We'll just do the last part of this. This is a tshuva from the Afarksasa Da'anya. Never heard him before, but I did the biography search on Bar Ilan. Rav David Baruch Clonimus Sperber. He was a gadol in Romania in the previous generation. Born 1875. He was the Rav of Varshav, Ha'ir Ashnia Begdol Romania, the second largest city in Romania. After the Holocaust, he was the head of the rabbis of Romania, and he was very big into being Mater Agunos, and then he made Aliyah in 1962, and the reason why I'm giving you this background is because I assume the tshuva happened after he made Aliyah. What's the tshuva? So the question is, Ha'im, so it's now under the lines over here. Ha'im tzrichim limchos neged ha'olam l'sefer Torah b'yom ha'kipurim im na'alayim k'sheyesh chashash ma'chlokes. So, do you go up and be mocha to people who are going up? Do you protest that people who are going up with shoes to the Sefer Torah? So they're getting, let's say, they're opening the Aron Kodesh on Yom Kippur and they're wearing shoes. So do you yell at them? Do you tell them you're performing something, you're doing something that's wrong? So, long tshuva, but just go to the end. He basically sets it up where he says, he quotes our Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the exact opposite of what the previous source said. So he says here, V'ragil ani lefaresh, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Al tomar dabar shi efshar lishmoa. Don't say something that's not going to be heard. So al titya'esh milomar tochachas musar betayna shikfar e efshar shiyishmu. Don't give up hope and say, I'm not going to rebuke them. I'm not going to tell them they're doing wrong with the excuse thinking that, oh, they're not going to listen anyway. Debe emes lo kainhu. It's not true. Shisofo lishamea. Eventually they'll hear you. Im lo achshav, if not now, la'achar zman, after time, they'll listen to you. And he quotes some nice idea about this. So here you have the same Mishnah in Pirkei Avos with the two exact opposite takeaways. One takeaway is don't say something with the excuse that eventually they'll listen to you if they're not going to listen to you now. And the other one is say something if they're not going to listen to you now because at the end they'll listen to you. Right? So what do you do in a scenario like this? Unclear. Unclear. Right? So I think we generally, and in the middle here, he talks about people talking in shul. Right? So do you yell at people talking in shul? They're not going to listen to you now, and they're actually going to hate you more because you're yelling at them, and they're probably going to talk more. So this is a practical question. So do you critique and rebuke people for talking in shul? And I think you have two rabbis on opposite extremes of this, is that, yes, rebuke them because eventually they'll listen to you. I haven't seen it work yet. And or keep your mouth shut, and they're not going to listen to you anyway, so you just have to suffer through it. They're wearing shoes. Again, I'm not giving you practical advice as to what to do, but you have two opposite extremes here with no clear explanations. Hold on one second. We'll take one more minute here to just finish this up because I don't want to come back to this Mishnah with one last thing to do. Look at source 5, part 5. So go back to flip the page back. The last idea, I think it's very powerful, motivation. Don't say, when I have time, I'll learn, because maybe you won't have time. So two or three brief sources on this. Source number 14, Altomar, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, don't say, if I have time, I'll learn, because maybe you won't have time. Kilo seda ma yeled yom v'gam l'machar yikru l'cha. You don't know what's going to happen today. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Ki chadashu se magidim v'titzarach l'lechas b'darchem. There's going to be something else you're going to have to do. Something new, a new challenge. Ki ein machzor le'inyanim ha'mischad shem b'chol yom. There's no end to the fact that there's always going to be another responsibility, something else to do. Avnimsos yotzos min ha'olam b'lo Torah el ha'aseh Torah s'chakev v'malach ta'arayim. There's never going to be an end. There's always going to be something else to do. Always going to be busy doing something else. Make sure you save time and learn. So that's the classic musar for this. Look at source number 15. The Rambam says, "Kishefna kasher yeli pnai mizeh esek." When I have free time, that's when I'll learn. Vizel derech mashakadam matsui shamai chavero aseh toras lakeva. Similar idea. You're not going to have time. Always make sure you set time for Torah. And then finally, the last idea that I think is a very powerful message is the Tiferes Yisrael. This is the first source that we did in the day. Source number one was the Tiferes Yisrael, and we'll end with the Tiferes Yisrael, where he says, Shema lo tipana. Maybe you're not going to have time. Do you remember what the Tiferes Yisrael said? He said five things what Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur was, and then the fifth one was a message to whom? To leaders. And he says the same thing here. It's a message to leaders. What's the message to leaders? Shema lo tipane, gamze azhar lemaniga torud har. But you're so busy, you're leading, again, whether it's family, whether it's a community, whether it's a classroom. Ukemo kein lekol adam hatorud ba'asakav. And the same is true for everybody. Shekishiyelo penai ktsat be'emsa tir dosav. You have a little bit of a respite in between your hard work. You have 5 minutes. Your kids are doing this. There's recess in the classroom. You have a few minute break now. What are you going to do with that few minute break? Lo yomar ma'ucha lomod bizman muatz. It's only 5 minutes. What am I going to do? What can I accomplish in 5 minutes? What can I learn in 5 minutes? Ela kishieli pnai harbe me'eske eshnevel. When I fall into this trap so many times, I need a chunk of time. If I want to get something done, I need to be able to focus on it. I need at least an hour. I need a seder. If I want to learn, I got to carve out the time and that's it. He says, no. Shema lo tipana. You're not going to have, who knows if you're going to have that time or not. The haraviyah shah, pnuyah shah avata, that 15 minutes that you just wasted because it wasn't a large enough chunk of time for you, hu chelek katan mechayecha, it's one small part of your life, shemechubar kulo mechalkim ktanim keila. Your whole life is a composite of small 15-minute windows. Val yidei hisrashloscha lo yashiv avodascha zos lecha leolam. Because of your laziness, because of your procrastination, because of this mindset that I need an hour, 15 minutes isn't enough, you are giving up all of these parts of your life, that if you just did 15 minutes here, there, the other place, before you know it, you've accomplished something great. It's a very powerful message, very powerful idea that we should take to heart, take advantage of all the time we have, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, all of it accumulates to something greater. Yeah, fine.
That 15 minutes could save you a lot of money.
That's okay, your 15 minutes could save you plenty of money on car insurance.
The example that you gave of somebody going up to the Orem with shoes and Yom Kippur, is there a difference in the responsibility to do that as a yochid sitting in the tzibur as opposed to the rabbi of the shul?
That's a fair question. He actually deals with some of that related to this. It gets into the question of the Gemara talks about, mutashu shogging. It's better that they are shogeg, and if you make it into a big deal, now all of a sudden they're not going to listen to you, and now they're doing it on purpose, and it's lahachas, so there's a lot of nuance involved, and he does deal with the fact that the Rambam seems to have a language of that it's impossible for us to go to everybody's house and tell them what to do, so maybe he says it's different. If you're in a shul, one person can get up and be what he calls the shoter, the policeman. And again, I think from a community perspective, at least in the 21st century, you don't want policemen in your shul. Not again, we love actual policemen. We don't want people taking the role of police person who's going to be the one who's always going to yell at everybody. It just doesn't build community that way. Last, and then we're going to bench.
Yeah, I remember hearing years ago that the altar fell, and they specifically 5 minutes here. so that the amount of audience is important.
That's a good one. There's another famous story, I forgot about who it was, but somebody in the past generation also who used to finish Shas all the time, and then he made this one huge Siyama Shas, where he finished all Shas, and he made a big deal out of it, and his students asked, why are you making a big deal out of this? You finish Shas all the time. So he said, this Shas that I finished is the Shas that I did specifically in the, Rabbi Shloni said, in the time that he was waiting for his wife, I heard a little bit differently, in the time that he was waiting for the bus, but it was this idea, it was the time that those 10 minutes, all accumulated, and he finished Shas just on that time, and to him, that was a huge deal, and that's why he made the CM based on that.
The story was, he was invited to participate in the Hasana, what he called up, 5 years here.
It's probably all true.
Yes.
Right. Okay, well, let's stop for now.